Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Boom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic, a sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air, everywhere, we kick off the Fifth Hour Weekend Podcast with Ben Maller because, hey, the overnight show, 4 hours a night, not enough, and 8 days a week, double barrel action on a Friday. And if you're listening to this show, if you're new, welcome. We always like bringing new people into the store. We need to have new customers in the store. It's good to have you. I'm not going to blab that much because this is an interview conversation podcast. We like to bring in friends to hang out and chat, and we're joined by my man David Gascon, who's going to be on with me here on the podcast, Gascon, and I'm excited about this one because someone we've wanted to get on, and finally we pulled the string on this and made it happen. We're going to chat with the voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Charlie Steiner is going to hang out with us, and I've known Charlie casually for a number of years now, and I'll see him when I go to these Dodger games, hanging out, schmoozing in the press box or whatnot. And I've actually known Charlie before he was the voice of the Dodgers. He's been the play-by-play guy for the Dodgers for the last, 17 seasons, I believe. I think he's heading into his 17th or 18th season now as the voice of the Dodgers. He's a National Radio Hall of Famer. Charlie Steiner, many people know him more as the Sports Center anchor, depending on how old you are, right? From back in the day, Gascon? Yeah. I mean, it was a legend in the heyday of ESPN when that was the place, the mecca of sports television before everything got watered down in sports media. And also a boxing guy. Charlie covered synonymous with boxing for so many years. And all the big fights Charlie Steiner was reporting on and covering and whatnot. And so excited to have him in here.
Just thinking about him, I don't know if you were like this when you were younger, but I felt like SportsCenter when I was a kid was appointment TV. It was like finding him, finding, all these guys that were on there. I mean, Linda Cohn, she did a lot of, stuff with hockey, but it still is Keith Olbermann, Dan Patrick, Tom Lee, or was it Tom Meese was on there, I think.
Tom Meese, yes.
Bob Lee. Yeah. There's just guys that were on there from start. I mean, Chris Berman, obviously, and Tom Jackson. Those guys were synonymous with the NFL. But, SportsCenter back in the day, that was like our playground, as kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the Stone Age, because you're doing a back in the day story. You're old, guess gun. You're proving you're old here. But yeah, I mean, we were consuming sports. You jonesing as a kid, you were like, oh my God. I mean, my experience, not to get too long with it because I want to bring Charlie in here, but my experience with sports consumption, like, I had to watch This Week in Baseball to get baseball highlights. Mm-hmm. I remember getting the red and the green book that they would give out before the season for the National and the American League. The American League was red. The National League was green. They gave these books out. That's how you got the stats. There was, you know, the internet as it is today did not exist. And so, but SportsCenter, that was like, you got everything. In an hour of SportsCenter, you'd get every highlight, every big story. And it was so important to watch that. You know, being on the West Coast, we had it, I think the first SportsCenter was at 4 o'clock, I think.
Yeah.
Our LA time, California time. And that was big. And then they'd have the late SportsCenter after the games were over. So, and Charlie was such a big part of that. So anyway, excited to have him on. Let's give it up now. The voice of the Dodgers. He got to call the final out of the World Series. We got to bring that up. We'll get to that. Charlie Steiner. And why don't we start with this, Charlie? You've been calling games from your house over the last baseball season. What has the experience been like for you, and how different, obviously, that has been for everybody, but for you as a play-by-play guy in Major League Baseball, you're sitting in your home calling games. Tell me what that's been like.
Well, go back to last July when we were all trying to figure out what the season was going to look like, and we had a Zoom call, and you're not a human being unless you've had at least one, with the entire broadcast group and our bosses. And it was about 3 or 4 days before the first exhibition game. And upon the completion of the Zoom call, I got a call from one of said bosses, and he said he didn't look happy. I said, well, I don't know about happy, but I certainly am apprehensive. And, you know, I am of that age. I am diabetic, and these days, who isn't? So I talked to my doctor, and I said, so what do you think? And he said, as a fan, I would love to have you and Mo back, because this is what and who I listen to every summer. As a friend, I'm not so sure. And as your doctor, are you out of your mind? And so it was like, well, that was a slap in the face of reality. And I had spoken to Mo, and I wasn't quite sure. Of course, we were going to do the games out of Dodger Stadium, even on the road, the 60 games all from there. And my doctor suggested, you know, you probably shouldn't. Just don't. And I called the next day, and I said, I'm feeling really anxious about it, and if it comes to, I'm just going to have to opt out this year. And that was pretty much the end of the conversation. I'm thinking, well, gee, that's probably the end of my career. And I got knocked out by COVID. Next day, the Dodgers come back and said, well, what if you did it from home? I went, well, yes. You know, I didn't think it was technically or humanly possible to be able to do it. And we did it. They added two large monitors in what used to be my living room. It became the media room, and thankfully this year it has returned to being the living room. And so I ended up doing the games from home. And Mo was at Dodger Stadium along with Dwayne McDonald, our producer and engineer. And it took maybe 4 or 5 days, three of them being exhibition games, to get it more technically in sync. You know, Mo and I, when we're calling a game, we're not looking at each other. We're both looking at the field. And now our 17th year, we can fill each other's sentences in. So that was never going to be an issue. And slowly but surely, it seemed to work. And then fast forward to, you know, the playoffs in the World Series. I finally got a chance to watch the World Series film, I guess, in January. There was no hurry. I knew the outcome. But most importantly, I watched the highlight film from the very chair that I announced the World Series, on the very screen that I watched it. And as I watched and listened to the highlight film, I could have sworn I was in Texas. So technically, it worked. And I think what's going to happen down the road in our industry in general, and some teams in particular, I'm not entirely sure that announcers are necessarily going to go on the road for every game. So I think it was weird. I understood the weirdness of it last year and still even this year. We have a giant asterisk about how we are living and conducting our lives. And that was just kind of part of the drill. And I'll finish up this endless answer with this. The very first game I ever called was a Brooklyn Dodger game in my basement in my home on Long Island when I was 5. And the most recent Dodger game that I broadcast was from my living room at my home, and they won the World Series, and people actually heard it. So talk about what goes around comes around.
Yeah, the circle of life. I think we all did that. I did the same thing. I was like, you're like, I'm doing play-by-play in my home, and you know, you're the final out of the World Series, and you called. I want to bring that up, Charlie, because on the Dodgers flagship AM 570, the Dodger Network there, finally, after all these years, the long-suffering Dodger fans got to hear a radio call of their team winning the World Series, and you had a great call. And yet finally the wait is over. Tears of joy, let them flow. I mean, I remember a lot of it, and you mentioned 88 as well. You've had a lot of big moments. How concerned, how nervous were you to not screw up in that spot? I mean, you nailed it, but how concerned were you? Because you could anticipate the Dodgers were likely going to win because of the lead they had at the time late in the game. Sure. But what was going through your mind as it was getting closer to you were going to have to make that call at the end of the World Series?
That morning, I called Vin, with whom we still have a wonderful friendship. He has been a mentor, a father-like figure, and again, the Babe Ruth of our business. So I called him that morning, and I said, so I got this, if they win tonight, I have this great idea. And he said, oh, yeah, what's that? I said, how about a line like, in a year that's been so improbable? And he said, I believe it's taken. and so, you know, it was one of those, you go to the grand poobah for just, not advice. We just talked, and it was not talking off the ledge. It was just going in before a big game and talking to a former player, in this case. So what I had been thinking about, and one of the things you really don't want to do is prepare and write out a script, any of that stuff. You just let it rip from your head and your heart and your eyes. And the word that kept going through my head all day was joy, and how much joy this would bring and how little joy any of us had experienced that year. And it just all came together. And you're right. There is that nagging fear. Oh Lord, please don't fuck it up. and I remember when I had the Aaron Boone call in 2003, when he hit the game winner and the Yankees walked off against the Red Sox and go to the World Series. I remember as he's circling the bases and I had made the call, and in the back of my head, because it happened so quickly, I said, oh, please, you know, finish the call cleanly. And I did with that. And I guess I did with this, too. But, it, you know, again, the story was obviously the Dodgers had won. And finally, there was something for all of us to be happy about.
Yeah, no, it was a great call. And you mentioned you did the Yankee games for a few years back in the day. What's the biggest difference? You know, these are the two biggest markets in the country. And, you know, you're on the radio doing Yankee games. You're doing Dodger games. You've been doing Dodger games for almost 20 years now. But what's the big difference between a Yankee broadcast and a Dodger broadcast? Or is it all the same?
You know, at the end of the day, without sounding highfalutin, a game is still a game. The moment is still a moment. And when you go and do what it is we do, all you can do is the best that you can. You know, in New York, I was working with John Sterling, and it was really two play-by-play announcers, and sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. But at the end of the day, we had a pretty good broadcast, and that was that. And then when we came out here to work with Mo, and this is, you're right, it's going to be my 17th year now, our roles were more clearly defined. And that, I think, makes for a cleaner broadcast. And we're very lucky, Mo and I. We've become friends. We're family. And we were talking about it right after the that night at the end of the post-game coverage. Because of the year that was, you know, so improbable, there's Mo at Dodger Stadium, and I'm at home, and Dwayne is at Dodger Stadium. We didn't see one another. Yet we our bond, which was always strong, grew stronger because we persevered all this craziness together, and it became a lot more meaningful than even just winning a World Series, that we managed to persevere like everybody else, like every Dodger fan. Somehow we got through it and won.
Yeah, it was great to listen to you, and I couldn't tell. I thought you were actually in Texas. It did sound like you were there where the World Series was going on. But here's the thing. I want to tell a story, Charlie. Now, you probably don't know this story because it's not important to you at all, but it's important to me. So when I first met you, you were doing Sunday Night Baseball for ESPN Radio with Kevin Kennedy. This is in like the late 90s, and I actually did stats for you. I don't know if you probably don't remember that, but I did stats for you a few times. And my shining moment, Charlie, was a giant Dodger game on a Sunday night, and Ellis Burks was playing. I think he came over from the Rockies that year. He was playing for the Giants, and this was like the Bonds-Kent Giants. I think it was 1998, in fact. And Brian
98 Bohannon, was when Kevin and I worked together, yes.
There you go. So Brian Bohannon was the Dodgers picked him up. He was the pitcher. So I found some stat about how Ellis Burks had this great career, you know, a bunch of home runs against Brian Bohannon. So I handed you this like note, right? I gave you this note, and the next pitch after you had gave the stat, Ellis Burks hit a home run into the pavilion at Dodger Stadium. That was a long time ago, but I bring that up because it makes me feel good because I remember it. And how have stats changed? Because there's so many more stats now, Charlie, and you're the play-by-play guy, and I think a lot of baseball on the radio is more telling stories, but there's a stat for everything these days. So how do you handle that?
Ben, you're absolutely right. On radio, it's a much more of a storyteller's medium. If you know, when you start talking about war and VIP and this and that, if you see it on your screen, okay, you kind of get it. And even then, you need some interpreter to say, what does this actually mean, except some numbers. On the radio, if you start running off numbers like this, +3, -2, somebody's stuck in traffic, it's just going to go either over their heads or through the ears from one side to the other. So for me and for Mo, and again, we're older. We are less, in terms of broadcasters, statistically driven than younger broadcasters. We still stick with the stories. At the end of the day, and again, I'm proudly an old school baseball guy. Give me the back of a baseball card. If I haven't seen a player before, then I can have at least a pretty good idea of what he is capable of doing. But you know, defensive this and offensive that, it's like it's still a game played by people. It's not like my Apple computer is better than your Mac or your Mac, your Dell or whatever it is. And it's just for me. Let the players play and how they play. It's up to us then to describe what they're doing well or not. And does a guy make a catch or not make a catch based on some arbitrary statistic? To me, not necessarily. So I again, Mo's been around a long time. I've been around a long time. and we've seen a lot, and hopefully we can tell stories pretty well.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Charlie, speaking of those stories and the history that you have for the game of baseball, what about when you're at the ballpark? I don't know if Ben wants me to bring this up, but I'll do it anyway. He had outcasted me a few years ago to go to Bakersfield to call minor league baseball. And I did so, but kind of took some of his advice about journaling everything that you do. It's about that story, right? So it's fascinating to learn about these guys that are minor leaguers trying to get to the show. But when you're in the show, what about the interaction that you have with these players prior to first pitch when they're stretching, throwing, limbering up? Did you miss that?
It has changed dramatically over the years. It is, and again, now you're going to hear some cranky old guy screaming, "Get off my lawn, you rotten kid." But the reality is the interaction between writers and broadcasters and players is so significantly different than it was certainly when I first started out and the years before I got into it. That was in a day when you went back to the hotel after a game and you'd have a beer with a player who was, relatively speaking, a contemporary, where the dollar disparity between players and those who cover them was not so vast. In a day when now players and their agents can control whatever it is they want to say or not say through their own social media accounts. So all of that has fundamentally changed. And for us old guys, that's sad because part of what it was that drew us to calling games was to be able to paint the picture and get inside the heads of these guys, which doesn't frankly exist very much anymore. Now, because of the pandemic and Zoom calls and all of that, you don't see or hear, no matter the newspaper or the radio station or the network, anything different. They're all saying the same thing based on the limited availability that they have to the players. So there it's fundamentally different. And so what I'm trying to do, and as this technology evolves and how the game has changed, is try to reflect on players or instances that are similar to what these players or given player in this given play might have been. So it is different, and I'm not entirely sure it's going to go back to what it once was.
Because of the differences now in time, then, have you ever had, or even recently, have you had one of those David Price, Dennis Eckersley, I guess,
no
encounters?
You know, and if I have, I don't care. You know,
but the player might.
You know, again, that's where it is fundamentally different.
Yeah.
When players tell you they don't watch, or they don't read, or they don't listen, they are so full of it. They just are. They know exactly what's been said. And what I think we all have to understand, what you're doing, Ben, what I'm doing, what players are doing, we all live in this ecosystem. The players play and we talk about it, may make an error and we have to mention it. That's not to say we're not going to make a mistake or we're going to blow a call, but we're all in this giant ecosystem. And the more we all of us, understand it, the better it is ultimately for the customer. And that's the fan who wants to learn as much as they can about the game, about a moment, about a player. But again, that's where it has fundamentally changed over the years. And there's a greater distance between media and players than I think that I've ever experienced. And I've been doing this a long time now.
Well, with the reduction in travel, that's added some time onto the timestamp for you. Do you have an end date at all, Charlie? Or do you feel like you're
going to
wrap this thing out?
No. You know, again, the Dodgers have been so unspeakably good to me. The fact that I'm not traveling much anymore. You know, I've been lucky enough in many ways to walk in the same path that Vin did. Vin was the first one to start cutting back on schedule. And travel and the road, you do it a lot. It beats you up. And at some point, I just said, okay, this is now not as much fun as it used to be. And as I say, that you don't have that much of a relationship anymore between players, whether it's at a local bar and whatever it is. Now, of course, with the pandemic, nobody's going anywhere anyway. So it's still fun to call a game, only the discipline has changed because the circumstances around us have changed.
What's your favorite sporting event to call?
Oh, I guess the seventh game of the World Series.
No, I mean, but I mean, like, take all that aside. Like, a championship is one thing, but I mean, like, if it's just a regular game or just a regular boxing match, like, what is your favorite event to call?
You know, I've been so lucky. I covered boxing in its last golden era. It began with Ali, and it ended with Tyson biting Holyfield's ear, and pretty much every big fight in between. And the night of a heavyweight championship when, you know, there are tens of thousands at the arena, millions watching around the world, the loneliness of the two fighters coming down from their respective locker rooms in their satin robes, crowd going crazy. There's nothing quite like the adrenaline of that. And one of the reasons why I decided to get away from boxing, it was because that wasn't existing much anymore either. So one of those, or the anticipation of a championship game, I did a bunch of Rose Bowls, and I've had a very Gumpian experience. I've been really lucky. I've covered a lot of big stuff. But, you know, as crazy as it was, calling the World Series from my living room had the same adrenaline rush for me that night as covering any of those championship fights.
All right, Charlie, it's time to get out the crystal ball. You've mentioned that you don't think things are going to go back to the way they were. Let me quiz you here. Now, what does that mean? The locker room access, do you believe that we will get back to non-Zoom calls once we move on from the pandemic? Or are they just going to limit access to the locker room in general and just have the way it is right now be the new normal?
The answer is I'm not sure. But I am reasonably sure that players are very happy not to have media in their workspace. I think they've always treated it, even in less antagonistic days between media and players, as their workspace. It's their office. They don't like people coming into their office. And I get that. So will it at some point return to what it was? I don't know. Ben, you're down there before games. How many guys are actually in the clubhouse when you go looking for them?
Oh, well,
they're in
none
the food room. They're in the quiet room. They're in the trainer's room. It's not like, ooh, hey, here's Ben. Let's go talk.
Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, and that's the thing, too, Charlie, because especially with these new locker rooms, well, I guess they're not new anymore. They're all old locker. But remember, in the old days, they didn't have as many hiding places. So the guys had to stay. A lot of them had to stay in their lockers because there weren't a lot of places to go. But now.
And they enjoyed it, I must tell you. Again, going back to years when I would be in a clubhouse with an old tape recorder over my shoulder and a little hand mic and all of that. There was a greater understanding of that ecosystem I was talking about earlier where, okay, this is part of the drill. And so after a game, you might sit with a player, have a beer with them and smoke a cigarette with them. And again, showing how far back it goes. But it was part of the understanding of their workspace, our workspace, and our mutual love for baseball. Now you've got players who've got their agents, they've got their Twitter feeds, they've got all this other stuff that seems to take a greater priority for their time and space than players who preceded them by 20, 30, 40, 50 years. So it's different. So to answer the questions, if they're going to go back, it might. Will the relationships be what they once were? Not likely.
Yeah. And then as you also referenced the play-by-play guys on the road, and that I understand a lot of teams this year also, at least at the beginning of the year, the broadcasters are not going to travel this season in general. So is that something that you think majority of the teams are just going to avoid paying for? That's a lot of money to travel and stay at these hotels, and it's a big expense.
You're absolutely right. I think that may be, I'm not saying definitively, but it may be a byproduct of the post-pandemic era. And again, if I can listen to the World Series film and I hear me, and I know I'm in this room having broadcast it, yet watching it there, and knowing that or sounding like I was there when I wasn't, I think what will eventually happen to some degree, they will cut down on announcers traveling because they don't have to.
Yeah. Well, and Charlie, just in general, you've had such a great run here with your many stops along the way. But there's people, you know, some listeners, the little younger guys that want to be you, Charlie. They want to reach the heights of Charlie Steiner. Any pearls of wisdom you have for the younger generations that are listening that want to follow in your footsteps?
Don't be afraid to fail. Be available. Be prepared. There are no shortcuts. It's hard. It is a very subjective business. Some people may think you're wonderful, and different people will hear the same thing that the others heard and say, Jesus, he's awful. All you can do is the best you can and work real hard and be around and as Branch Rickey said, luck is the residue of design. If you're there, you might get lucky, but nobody's going to knock on your front door and say, hey, would you like to come and be a Major League Baseball announcer? You got to work your ass off to get there, and even then, there's no guarantee you're going to get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned earlier social media. That is something that's changed in our lifetimes, Charlie, a lot with the importance of social media. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with social media. I'm on there because of the job and doing a talk show. You need to be on there and whatnot. But sure. I'm not a big fan. But how has that entered into the equation? Because so many of the stories today in the sports news cycle seem to come from Instagram or Twitter. It's a fascinating change that's taken place. I don't know if it's a change for the better. Do you think it's a change for the better?
Not really. No, I do not have a Twitter account. My feeling is if I have something to say, I will say it on mic during a game or with you. And that's as far as it goes. You know, I don't care much about what I think, let alone do I necessarily want to share that with people that I do not know. So, I'm not a fan of it. I do look at it on occasion just to get a sense of, you know, what fans are thinking about. But I would never engage in that because that's not a neighborhood I want to live in.
Now you were a big guy at ESPN in the heyday. I consider it the heyday of ESPN. You know, it's still a monster. It's probably bigger now than it was then, but as far as financially, but it, that mattered, Charlie. Those days when you were doing SportsCenter and there wasn't social media and the internet was still, you know, in the early stages and it was archaic and things like that. That SportsCenter, when you hosted that show, that was must-see TV. That's how people got the sporting news. What was it like in those early days at ESPN when, I mean, all you guys became big stars, you know, in that time and then in the years that followed, but you guys have had great careers. But what was it like when you were doing that and that was the epicenter of sports media?
I was so lucky. I got hired in 1988, never having had a lick of television experience. But a fellow named John Walsh came in and his task was to turn SportsCenter into something. And then they started to hire people. And I was the first of the new breed that they brought in as an anchor. And again, I had to learn on the fly. Peter Gammons was just starting. Andrea Kramer was just starting. And they had no television experience either. And then within a year and a half, Dan Patrick came in, Keith Olbermann came in, Robin Roberts came in, young Mike Tirico came in. And it was this surge of talent. And we were working in this little pipsqueak town, Bristol, Connecticut. And it was, in fact, my agent at the time, when they made an offer to me, they reached out and said, "Do you want to come here?" Well, okay. He said he didn't think it was a very good idea. He said, it's a little cable station in Connecticut. And I said, well, if ever I was going to try television, this is as good as any. And if it didn't work out, I could always go back to radio where I'd had some success. And so all of a sudden, this SportsCenter thing is beginning to take off. And we were the last ones to realize it. I mean, we just lived in Connecticut. We were playing TV. And this thing, ESPN was coming on the air. MTV was coming on the air. CNN was coming on the air. All in the late 70s, early 80s. And it was like, whoa. So we got swept up on it. And in it, had no idea, I mean, no idea that it would become the thing that it became. And then I think the thing that really kind of put us over the top, ultimately, at least in terms of SportsCenter personalities and all of that, were the SportsCenter commercials, which still have pretty good shelf life. So, again, we were the last ones to know. And the other thing I think that made it successful was the fact we were in Bristol, and we had nobody else except us. So it became this nuclear family inside this concrete building in Connecticut. And so we as a group grew up together, and we as a group were watched by, you know, as it turned out, millions of people, and everybody was wondering how they're going to fit 24 hours a day of sports. Well, they did. And we were just all very fortunate. I got to work with Bob Lee for every day for 12 of my 14 years there. And Bob and Robin Roberts and I, the three of us, were together every day for about 7 years. So we were just lucky, and it worked out. You know, luck is a residue of design.
Yeah, and even all, you know, these years later, since you've been doing the baseball, those highlights on YouTube, some of your the commercials are still popular. Yeah. The blooper videos, though, Charlie, I got to ask you about that. Now, you mentioned you had not done TV before. Your laugh, so infectious. My favorite was you were doing the Mitch Blood Green story and
haberdashery.
That was what was it like you know, what were the people like around the camera and the support staff and the people you're working with, because you lost it a couple of times on it. Was great television, but were they busting your chops while you were doing that? What was that like?
The first time I lost it was Carl Lewis and his wretched rendition of the national anthem. And at that point, that was 92, so I'm on the air maybe 3 years. I'm still trying to get my sea legs under me. And that morning, driving to work, I listened on the radio, and they had about a 10-second clip of Carl Lewis butchering the anthem. It was the Nets and Bulls in Jersey. And so we had a production meeting every day about 10:30 for our 7 o'clock show. And I said, I heard the damnedest thing on the radio today, Carl Lewis doing the anthem, and it wasn't very good. Maybe the tape room has it from last night. Well, 15, 20 minutes later, they come upstairs, back when there were cartridge tapes, put it in, and the entire anthem is in there. I go, oh, this is gold. And they always would give me the kicker, the final story of the night, you know, something stupid that I was good at stupid. So now we decided that's going to be the last story of the day. And throughout the day, people keep hearing about this Carl Lewis thing, and they came by, and where I sat long before we had offices, we had little pods. They popped in the Carl Lewis anthem, and it was awful. And every time I heard it, I laughed. And I'm figuring by 7 o'clock, having heard it maybe 20 or 25 times that day, I would have been laughed out. Wrong. So he sings, and I'm going to make it up to you and all of that. And it was, you know, historically bad. And I got lucky. I got as I'm losing it now, that popped into my head, Francis Scott off key. I don't know where it came from, but I'm glad that it did. So anyway, so now I have thoroughly lost it. I'm on the air for about 30 seconds and boogers are flying out of my nose and spits coming out of my mouth. But I go back upstairs when the day is done to put my earpiece in my desk and all that. And I'm thinking, I'm done. I'm fired. This is not going to last. When I go up into the newsroom, everybody is still laughing hysterically. I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe I can survive this thing. That night at the 11 o'clock show, Keith and Dan, I think the first and only time they ever re-aired an entire segment from the 7 o'clock show of me and Carl Lewis. And then the reaction was such, and it became in many ways kind of liberating, that if I could survive that, and I wasn't worried about what the camera was seeing because I had lost it, then it just naturally loosened me up on television. And so it was therapeutic for me as a broadcaster. And so then when I saw funny and stupid stuff, it was easier for me to just let it go.
Charlie, what's your favorite ESPN commercial that you ever did? Ben and I were talking about it off air, so kind of curious what you thought.
I guess Follow Me to Freedom, only because it
timeless.
Still works. You know, I did one with Melrose Place, where it was Bobby the Pool Boy, and again, they gave me a lot of, you know, punchlines. I was a walking punchline for 14 years there. But I guess Follow Me to Freedom, which is now more than 20 years old, still works.
Yeah, it does. Hey, Charlie, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I hope to see you at the ballpark when things get back to some sense of normal there. I haven't seen you in a while, but thanks for coming on and continued domination on the Dodger broadcast. I hear you all the time, and you're doing a great job. So thank you so much.
And thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.